Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuie.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
You were just the kind of man as I thought. You know, pirates are great.
Oldie but a goodie. Today is March 8th, 2015, and this is episode 74. PAX and GDC, OMG, WTF, BBQ, Rock Band 4!
Oh!
Welcome once again, our lovely and beautiful listeners, to another episode of the GameBuie.org video game podcast.
GameBuie.org video game podcast.
This week we're talking about the double header of news that is PAX and GDC. So, buckle in and get ready for that. But first, we have our usual slate of follow-ups and news bits. Slaggy McWaggy, you want to get us started?
Yes. In Final Fantasy Type-0 HD, there will be a few new little treats waiting for the players. One will be a secret movie that unlocks.
Ooh.
Another will be a costume that has a gold mantle for the students of Class Zero.
Nice. You know, something that's really exciting to me about this news, and those of y'all out there who are Kingdom Hearts fans, y'all feel me, secret movies are like one of the most exciting things Square Enix does these days. You know, we've talked about that here on the show before, but Kingdom Hearts has this tradition of, at the end of every game, especially in these re-releases, there's a new secret movie. And we have confirmation from Square Enix that Type-0 is gonna have a secret movie, so...
Well...
I'm betting it's either going to be a trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3 or Final Fantasy 15, or it's going to be sequel bait.
Hmm.
We also have word here, and this is something that you're going to have to really look into yourself. We'll link you over at GameBuie.org.
GameBuie.org.
But the talk that Koji Igarashi-san gave last year at GDC, where he was talking about sort of what makes a Metroidvania game, is finally now available to view online at the GDC website. And we're going to link you specifically to Gamasutra, who's mirroring it.
Yes. Over on the Capcom community, we got word that Nash is going to be making his return in Street Fighter V. And there will also be an online beta program for Street Fighter V. So if you're wanting to get your Nash on, Charlie, if you're nashty, then please look forward for more information.
And something that's interesting about Charlie Nash's new character design is that he looks a bit stitched together, not entirely unlike Frankenstein's monster. So you could say he's a Monster Nash.
Oh, that was bad but good. See, I thought he was just wearing like a leather mask at first, but no, those are stitches. So
we also have word here that the long rumored World of Warcraft game subscription time for gold service is in fact a real thing that's going to be coming to the game shortly in an upcoming patch. We don't yet have any specific pricing details, but as we talked about here on the show previously, what's basically going to happen is that you're going to be able to, using real money, buy a WoW token for game time that you'll then be able to take to the auction house and sell in-game for in-game gold.
And the gold value, we do know, will fluctuate based on supply and demand, so...
Yeah, and this is not going to be a free market item. Blizzard is going to be pretty heavily regulating just how much gold you get for this game time. We also have word that the mobile Android and iOS game Final Fantasy Record Keeper... This is, of course, the 16-bit style crossover RPG based in the Final Fantasy universe... is coming to North American smartphones later this year.
That's exciting.
We also have word, as of this past Friday, that Capcom has uploaded free DLC for the North American release of Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. The first pack is up now. It contains 14 new quests, 11 new weapons, 8 new armor sets, 2 Palico armor sets, a new Palico weapon, a new bonus Palico, 2 guild card backgrounds, 1 guild card pose, 9 guild card titles, 1,000 free caravan points, and perhaps most interesting to most of the people listening to this show, 3 of those new quests I mentioned tie in to the previously announced Zelda costume armor and weapons.
It's dangerous to go alone. Take this.
Exactly so. So if you, like me, are playing Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, you should be able to access this via the in-game DLC tab now.
We have some more details, and I guess officially an official announcement of the free expansion for Shovel Knight, which is Shovel Knight Plague of Shadows. As we had mentioned before, it will star Plague Knight, and he is looking to concoct the ultimate poison. It will be available sometime in the second quarter of this year for PC, 3DS, Wii U, all the PlayStation platforms, and Linux and Macs. If you do not own the game already, you can purchase Shovel Knight and Plague of Shadows together upon its release for $14.99. That's a hell of a deal. And in other Shovel Knight news, some friends that we were just talking about a couple weeks ago will be making their appearance in the Xbox One version.
When it's released this April.
Yes, and Captain Spike, would you like to tell who they are?
Well, these guest characters are going to be none other than Zitz, Pimple, and Rash.
Ew!
The titular Battletoads.
Oh, okay. I thought you were like talking about the real Zitz, Pimples, and Rashes. Like, that would be gross.
Oh my gosh, that would be disgusting. Anyway, we already have a video teaser. The sprites for the Battletoads look great. They have a really cute entrance animation. So that's super exciting. And obviously, you know, we've talked about this here on the show before. Keep in mind that when the PlayStation 4, 3, and Vita version of Shovel Knight launches on April 21st, they'll be getting exclusive content featuring Kratos from God of War.
Aww.
So now I want to know where my Wii U and 3DS update is that's going to add a battle against Bowser. Jesus.
All right.
We also have word here that Donkey Kong Country is once again available on the Virtual Console.
The full trilogy, in fact.
Yes, all 3 of the Donkey Kong Country games are available for download on the Wii U Virtual Console. And, pretty interestingly, all 3 of the Donkey Kong Land games are also available on the 3DS eShop for Virtual Console.
Some cool news from Nipponichi Software America. First print copies of Rodea the Sky Soldier for Wii U will come with the Wii version of the game.
Now, you know, we've been talking about this game off and on for years now. It was a big deal when Rodea was revived for the Japanese market and the announcement was made that the Wii U version was going to come with the previously scrapped Wii version. When the North American release of the Wii U version was announced, we had remarked that we had no idea if the Wii version was also coming over. We do, in fact, now have confirmation that first print North American copies will include the Wii disc.
That's exciting as hell.
And, you know, something that's really interesting is that the Wii version is the only one of the series, that is the Wii U game, the 3DS game, and the Wii game, all 3 of which are different games. The Wii version is the only one that has a competitive multiplayer mode. So if you're planning on having people come over to, you know, play Rodea, you better make sure that you have that first print copy.
Yeah, that's exciting. For those who are fans of Five Nights at Freddy's, well, you probably, I guess, already know that Five Nights at Freddy's 3 pulled a Beyonce back on Monday. So if you're into the spoopy Chuck E. Cheese-like experience, then I've heard from fans of the game that it is as spoopy as ever. This one is set in the future, so it is actually taking place 30 years after the events of the original games.
Something else kind of exciting that's coming is that on April 1st, Sunset Overdrive will be getting its last piece of DLC.
Hey, hey.
This is known as the Dawn of the Rise of the Fallen Machines. It's going to add a new area, all new missions, and all new enemies based around the concept of a Terminator-style AI uprising. In typical Sunset Overdrive fashion, it looks super silly, super over-the-top, and super stylish.
That's awesome.
I'm super looking forward to it, and those of you out there who have Xbox Ones and haven't played Sunset Overdrive yet, I highly recommend it.
In some crazy, crazy news, some fans have put together a PC tech demo for Sonic Extreme, which is, of course, the canceled 1996 Sega Saturn and PC title. This is a very, very early build that it was based on, and, like, you can't even collect rings, but it's kind of just cool if you're interested in seeing, like, you know, what this game was going to look like in action, and you can, you know, download it and move around this jungle level.
And, you know, this is a really interesting sort of story. You know, basically, a disc was leaked about a year or two ago now. We talked about this a little bit during our Sonic episode last year.
Gotta go fast.
You know, this tech demo was leaked, and it was actually PC, native PC code, but it required very specific development PC hardware. It was like an NVIDIA card or something in order to decrypt it. And basically what this group of Sonic fans did is that they crowdsourced the money to get one of these cards, and then just basically went to the task of porting this tech demo to be compatible with modern machines that you could run on, you know, your wow. Windows 7 or 8 desktop PC. So this is something that's really cool, really neat, and basically only the Sonic fandom would have gone to such lengths for, you know, an unfinished tech demo to be playable.
Well, you know, there are different aspects to the Sonic fandom. And
yeah, some of them are quite impressive.
This is one of the times where it's kind of like, wow.
Anyway, if you're looking for this, it's out there. We're going to have a link to the Silicon Era article about this over on GameBuoy.org. And next up, we have word that on March 11th in Japan, Theater Rhythm Dragon Quest will be getting a demo.
Nice. You'll have to get it on your Japanese 3DS or new 3DS.
And, you know, we have a handful of listeners that I know definitely have Japanese 3DSs. I am mainly making sure all y'all know this. We here on the show, we will be talking about this demo next week.
And in big, big news for many people, Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain, finally has had a worldwide release date announcement of September 1st. 2015.
I am so glad that you took this news story because I keep accidentally calling it the Phantom Menace.
Oh, no.
Anyway, you know, we're big fans of the Metal Gear Solid series here, so this is really exciting, and I cannot wait. We also have word that BlazBlue Chrono Phantasma Extend is finally coming to North America on the PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PlayStation Vita.
Oh.
This is especially interesting for Xbox One owners, since they won't be getting Street Fighter 4 Ultra or Street Fighter 5.
Right.
At least they'll have some Japanese fighting game representation.
And, you know, they also have Killer Instinct, not that that's Japanese, but...
Oh, I meant specifically Japanese. Yeah. No, Killer Instinct is an amazing game. I talk about it all the time. It's super good. I just, you know, Japanese fighting games feel a little different. And last in follow-ups, but certainly not least, last week, Azure Striker Gunvolt got an update in North America to both the regular 3DS and new 3DS versions of the game. I note this difference because this update very specifically is designed in large part to let the game take advantage of the new 3DS's added buttons and hardware. So while the regular 3DS version of the game will get some extra features, the new 3DS version will get even more. One of the things that's being added is a boss rush mode. They're also adding a new Lumen song. They're adding a function where you can get the Gunvolt demo, which is also coming this week, which will create save data that can be transferred into the full game.
Oh.
As well as support for the ZL and ZR buttons on the new 3DS so that you can change weapons on the fly, not entirely dissimilar to what Capcom often does with the Mega Man games.
I guess I'm going to have to get a new 3DS.
There's also a huge selection of various bug fixes and typo fixes all throughout the game. And you know, this is actually the perfect segue to go into...
News. Oh my god.
Oh my god, news.
So as you were saying...
Yeah, quite excitedly, IntiCreates has announced at the recent IntiCreates Fan Festival that Azure Striker Gunvolt 2 is in development for the 3DS. This is, of course, super exciting news for those of us that are big fans of this game series, which I certainly am, and we should have more information shortly. Also out of the IntiCreates Fan Festival was news that they're working on a sequel to their bizarre niche hit game, Gun Gal. I'm sorry, Gal Gun, This was, of course, the fairly, how does one say, controversial Moe game that is just this side of being, you know, ecchi eroge. But basically, you shoot monsters and get a lot of upskirt panty shots from girls.
Okay.
It's a pretty strange one, but the game is at least interesting. So, you know,
okay.
Something, I guess.
Axiom Verge for PS4 will be out on March 31st. If you're not familiar with this game, it is a classic kind of exploration-based game in the spirit of Super Metroid, Contra, Blaster Master, and other sorts of games. Like, right down to the, you know, visual presentation of it, too. They'll have power-ups, and there's a great write-up on it from PlayStation Blog, from the programmer, artist, designer, and composer, Tom Happ, of Thomas Happ Games, LLC.
Yeah, I've been really interested in playing this game for a long time. Ever since I first heard of it, it's sounded really interesting. I am super, super, super excited to play this game, and I can't wait for it to come out on PlayStation 4 on March 31st.
Yeah, it looks really cool.
Also, as a little bit of a PSA, there is currently a scam going around. This is a group calling themselves Dark Design Games, selling on their website a game that they are calling Mystic Quest Final Fantasy HD. They claim that this is an officially licensed HD remake of Mystic Quest, but unfortunately, not only is it a half-baked RPG Maker game, it's apparently loaded with spyware, it's completely unlicensed from Square Enix. This is a very bad thing. If you've seen this, if you've seen links to it, turn around and run the F away.
Man, figures a game like Mystic Quest would have that sort of luck.
Right? Poor Mystic Quest. We also have word here that Kunio-kun no Jidaigeki Daio Zenin Shugo is going to be getting a 3DS sequel, according to last week's Famitsu magazine. The game is going to be titled Downtown Neketsu Jidaigeki, and it takes place several years after the original Famicom title. Obviously, you know, we're big fans of the Kunio-kun games here in studio, and I will definitely be downloading this when it releases in Japan on May 28th, 2015.
Now, did that particular version ever get a Western release, the original Famicom one?
I do not believe so.
Because otherwise, I assume they would have called it, like, you know, River City Ransom, but it was not.
We also have word here that the upcoming Mortal Kombat X is going to be getting a mobile phone spin-off game that is going to be a fighting-slash-card battle game. The game is going to be focused around a hybrid system of fighting, card collecting, and multiplayer team combat. The vast majority of characters that are in the regular version of Mortal Kombat X will be present, and this game is currently scheduled for release for iOS and Android devices in April.
Frozen Byte Games has announced that Trine 3 is in development for PC. There's a trailer available and some screenshots. Looks really pretty, like all the other Trine games. No announcement yet for any console releases, but I figure that will come later on.
I'll expect this to hit on Wii U and PS4 at least. I know that Trine 2 was a big performer on both of those platforms, so. We also have word here, somewhat controversially, that Comcast users trying to run HBO Go are being blocked by Comcast on both the PS4 and PS3 platforms.
Rude.
Now, I already knew that this was a deal on the PS3. I had hoped that the kinks would be worked out on the PS4, but sadly, this does not appear to be the case. You know, a lot of people are whining and complaining to Comcast, and let me be clear here, I don't mean that with any kind of negative connotation. I myself have also whined and emailed to Comcast in an email. I think that this is bullshit. I pay for HBO Go, I pay for cable, I pay for internet. Comcast let me watch this shit on whatever device I want to use. Jesus.
To celebrate the 15th anniversary of Digimon, in happier news, there will be Digi-devices modeled after the ones from Digimon Adventures. And it will be, you know, a Digimon Digi-device. You know, for those who are a little bit like, what? You know, a Tamagotchi, so like a virtual pet.
Yeah, I actually had a Digimon, like in the old days when they were basically just Tamagotchis, and I loved it. So, because
Did you have Agumon?
Unlike the Tamagotchis of the time, the Digimon ones had little connectors, and you could fight other Digimons. Like your friends' Digimons.
Digivolve and all that stuff.
I only knew one person in my school who had a Digimon, but we fought all the time. So.
Who did you have?
You know, I couldn't tell you anymore. It was a long time ago. Like, I mean, gosh, that was, what, 15 years ago?
Well, you can re-explore it because it has the original 8 Digimon. Agumon, Gabumon, Biomon, Palmon, Tentomon, Gomamon, Patamon, and Gatomon.
That is awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna probably buy this. Hopefully you'll buy one too and we can fight all the time.
Digimon, digital monsters, Digimon are the champions. Except that, as of right now, they're only available for release in Japan this July for 9,990 yen.
Cult PSP hit Corpse Party is getting a 3DS port. And even more exciting than that, is that this port is going to have an all-new and exclusive scenario to the 3DS version.
Cool, cool, cool.
I'm really excited. This is in development. No North American release has been announced yet, but since most of these Corpse Party games have come over, even, you know, for the PSP of all things, I think it's a safe bet that we will probably see this one cross over as well.
Tetsuya Mizuguchi-san, who you probably know best from Q Entertainment and the games Rez and Lumines, among other gems, is going to be releasing his next game, a mysterious puzzle game called 18 for iOS and Android, and is coming worldwide by the end of March.
Awesome. I'm super excited to play that.
This will be, of course, the first one from his new studio, Enhanced Games, out here in California.
We also have word here that the super, super, super well-received Japanese 3DS eShop release from Nintendo, Box Boy, is coming to North America this spring. This is developed by HAL Laboratories, the people whom you are most likely familiar with for their work on the Kirby series.
Kirby!
And, you know, it definitely has a rabid following, so this is one to definitely look forward to.
Would you say a raving rabid following?
We also have heard, last but certainly not least, that the upcoming French fighting game Last Fight, which is based on the French comic book Last Man, is very specifically designed to be a Smash Brothers meets Power Stone game.
Ooh, that's up your alley.
That is up everyone's alley. Power Stone is one of the big titles that when we did our games, we wanted to have make comebacks episode. People were very passionate about wanting more Power Stone. Well, it looks like those of you like me who wish this may finally be getting our wish. So that's about it for our news this week, but we do unfortunately have a little bit of first off, we have some very, very sad news here. EA has shut down the main Maxis studio located in Emeryville, California. This is, of course, the studio behind such games as SimCity, Spore, various Sim games over the years. EA says that the Maxis brand will carry on, but unfortunately the studio that has always been Maxis before the EA buyout is no more. Our hearts and thoughts go out to everyone who was employed at this legendary studio. You will definitely, definitely, definitely be missed. And, you know, hopefully y'all land on your feet and find gainful employment sooner rather than later. We also have word here that the beloved PC game No One Lives Forever, which many different studios have been trying to revive for years, which we've talked about here on the show, most recently was Night Dive Studios, who applied for a trademark for the game last May. They've unfortunately gone on the record to say that they were unable to secure the license to bring this game back. Apparently, the people who own the game don't know they own the game. People who don't own the game think they own the game, and it's all one big kerfuffle that nobody seems willing to work around or through in order to revive this game. There's unfortunately no salve on the horizon. More likely than not, for the foreseeable future, No One Lives Forever will not be living at all.
Aww. Well, you know, those are some really bummer news, but let's talk about some exciting things that are going on in gaming right now, because we've had two back-to-back big events in the world of gaming. That, of course, is the Game Developer Conference in San Francisco and PAX East in Boston. And, you know, the way we're going to do this week is we're going to split it up into the two conferences, because, I mean, that makes sense. And, you know, these are kind of interesting to pair together because you have GDC, which is, you know, primarily aimed for developers, kind of talking about the tech side of things and, you know, the game design side of things. And then there's PAX East, which, you know, I don't really know if it's quite yet differentiated itself from PAX Prime necessarily, but, you know, it's definitely, especially for a lot of East Coast studios, kind of like their go-to place to be showing off their stuff. And, you know, even with PAX South, we've got some, you know, exclusive announcements, so.
Well, and, you know, the thing about the PAX sort of series of events, I guess you could say, is that they are very specifically designed from the angle of sort of, you know, by gamers, for gamers, representation of sort of the convention exposition circuit that isn't behind closed doors and, you know, sort of industry-exclusive.
Right. And, you know, as we've talked about before, there have been issues with the PAX conventions in the past and, you know, the folks over at Penny Arcade. And, you know, that's a kind of a whole barrel of worms, but or a can of worms, barrel of monkeys, whatever you want to say. But
barrel of worms!
I mean, I think we do have to look at the fact that PAX, I really think, kind of paved the way for things like GX, GamerX, come through. You know, we still try to look at it for the positive reasons, even though, you know, there's always going to be, you know, some little negative things associated with it, so.
Yeah, something I'm really working on right now, especially, you know, in this world of gamer gators and social justice warriors, is acknowledging that things can be problematic while still acknowledging that, you know, they have good sides to them, and that
right.
the net result is still a gain. And that's kind of how I feel about PAX. You know, for all that we complain about diversity lounges and segregation and, you know, some of, like, the issues that they've had with representation and harassment, at the same time, by all indication and means, the organizers are trying to clean these efforts up.
Yeah.
While I might think that the Diversity Lounge was ill-advised, it was certainly a real effort they made to try and fix a problem that was perceived, and I do think there is value in that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I may still have issues with Penny Arcade and that whole umbrella of services and events, but, again, more good than bad, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, we're going to start off here with GDC, and the thing that's kind of funny is, well, I mean, I don't know how funny it is that...
It's not funny, haha, it's funny interesting.
Is that, you know, the anti-social justice warrior brigade out there, you know, who is known by other names, even though they might claim that they are not associated with that, seem to be of the opinion that GDC, oh, it's not talking about games development, it's all about feel-good diversity, social justice, BS. And while there were some really empowering panels and presentations and things featured at that event that, you know, definitely tried to pave the way for improving the climate in gaming, there, I mean, most of what we're talking about here is game development related, so suck on that, I guess.
Suck on that! You know, something really interesting to me about GDC this year, and I'm not going to talk about the vast majority of these panels individually. There is one I want to point out because I thought it was really fascinating, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But all of these panels are worth reading up on. Polygon specifically did an amazing sort of catch-all of sort
mm-hmm.
of impressions and reviews of the various panels.
And, you know, over the next year, really, you'll be seeing these videos pop up. I know Kama Sutra usually tends to be the one who archives them a lot of times, but...
Well, yeah, it's actually, you know, like we were just saying a little bit ago about how Koji Igarashi-san's Metroidvania talk just went up recently. These talks, too, will go up, hopefully, sooner than a year from now, but if that's what it takes, that's what it takes.
And, you know, the other thing to keep in mind about GDC before we get started is that a lot of it really is, you know, like, oh, graphics workshop for, you know, developers. Like, here's how to optimize your graphics for PC platforms or whatever. So, you know, those things, we try to just pick out the bits that you listeners out there in Radioland would most likely want to be hearing from GDC.
And, you know, I just want to point out these panels, and I was starting on this topic, but a lot of these panels are very specifically directed towards concerns and issues with representation in games.
Definitely.
There was a real focus on that, and, you know, I know that I've heard, and, I make no mistake here, my allegiance is clear, but, you know, in as such a thing can be said. You know, I've heard a lot of talk about how most game developers and most game publishers weren't doing enough to combat Gamergate or whatever. To me, this GDC was a clear, from a business perspective, in a professional, adult, mature way, a lot of people in the games industry putting their foot down and saying, we don't give a fuck about those silly little man children. Diversity is important, representation is important, and we're gonna put our money where our mouth is. But, you know, it wasn't done via tweets and via Facebook posts. It was done with panels on how can we represent better? How can we be more welcoming?
And oh man,
how can we fight the problems that are coming up? And that, to me, was the correct reasoned and researched response to this entire situation in kerfuffle. You were starting to say something?
Yeah, you know, just really quickly, I just wanted to shout out to Nathan Vella. I hope I'm saying his last name right. He, of course, is from Cappy Games, a.k.a. Capybara Games. He and Tim Schafer were really heavily involved in this year's IGF Awards, which, you know, are the awards that happen at GDC. But, and, you know, they both definitely had some notable things to say, but Nathan Vella in particular, like, specifically made a speech about recognizing trans gamers, gay, lesbian, bisexual gamers, female gamers, gamers of color, and, like, it was really pretty touching. So, also, he's handsome, and also, I mean, Cappy Games, so. But, yeah, thank you to Nathan Vella, and also to Tim Schafer, who's, like, very, also much been a early ally for this fight that's been happening, so.
Yeah, I mean, basically, his whole career has been about those kinds of values. So, and anyway, let's get on. We have a handful of news stories out of GDC this year. The first one, of course, is a three-way fight, between sort of the big three game engines that are sort of vying from a development perspective for the time and, you know, where applicable, money of pretty much every game development studio in existence. I talk, of course, about the triple announcement over a course of like 12 hours. Basically, Unreal Engine 4 was announced to be free for independent developers. There are obviously some catches there in terms of if you make a certain amount of money per quarter on a product designed with Unreal Engine 4, you owe like an amount of revenue.
5%.
But I was getting to it. Gosh. But again, you know, this is a huge change from the subscription that was announced last year at GDC. This is clearly, you know, Unreal taking a swipe at sort of the base that Unity has in the indie development scene right now. But a short while later, Unity 5 was Beyoncé'd, by which I mean surprise released. And it is also free to use for independent developers. There is a similar issue with royalties. If you are a company with earnings over the $100,000 mark, then you will need to pay a like $75 a month fee or something to license the program. But if you're making games personally yourself and your income on your games is under $100,000 a year, it is a free release. It is a free engine. Man. You can release and sell games made through it. This is a big effing deal. But the next interesting one was a very similar announcement made by Valve with regard to the Source 2 engine. The Source 2 engine is also going to be available for free to content developers. The one caveat here is that if you create a game using Source 2, you do have to sell it over Steam, which is where Valve will recoup their costs.
I mean, isn't that, like, if you made a game, wouldn't you most likely want it on Steam anyway?
Well, exactly.
It's like, oh, you gotta sell it through our, like, basically number one PC gaming marketplace. Sorry.
One of the big deals here...
Still no Half-Life 3, huh?
One of the big deals here about the Source 2 engine issue, of course, is that, you know, there's an increased focus every day now on user-created content, maps, you know, character models and what have you. The Source 2 engine, you know, because more and more games are going to be released using Source 2, this is going to be a great tool for people who are releasing mods to Steam. So, you know, this is really cool, it's very neat, and, you know, between Source 2, Unity 5, and Unreal 4, there is just a real bevy of incredible, incredible engines for you to use to create your games.
Yeah.
We also have word here that the most recent build of Sony's Project Morpheus virtual reality headset is now running at 120 frames per second.
What?
And the display within the device has also been upgraded since the last time the device was publicly shown. Sony is now intending to release this product to consumers in the first half of 2016, and it will be compatible with the PlayStation 4 console.
Oh man, that's exciting.
We also got the announcement that HTC is stepping into the VR headset realm, and the people who are doing the design work with them that have their back is none other than Valve.
Uh-oh.
This is obviously a huge deal, and HTC and Valve are swearing up and down that this product is going to release to the mainstream consumer before the end of 2015.
Wow. It's coming. By which I mean VR. Come on, Oculus Rift. Let's get riftening. Okay. So next, we wanted to highlight something a little bit different from the other news we've been talking about. And like we said, you know, there have been a lot of, especially this year, an increase at GDC about diversity in gaming. There was a great One Reason to Be panel, kind of following up from the One Reason Why. That, you know, I'm hoping to see the video up for that very soon. This one is kind of near and dear to our hearts for a couple of reasons. Because this panel was, number one, presented by Todd Harper, who is connected to the Honey Bunch through...
I wanna take you to a game bar!
Indeed. And, also this, panel and that he gave was about, issues of fatness in gaming. You know, as a larger gentleman myself, that's something I definitely struggle with, and the it's a the representation of you know, different body types in gaming is something that's not talked about as much as it should be, in my opinion. You know, we definitely see, like, you know, the busty babes and the muscle-bound dudes, but I mean, that's kind of part of it, that there, anytime that there are, larger characters, it's like Fat Princess, and it's made to be a joke. Wario, who, you know, is really gassy, because I guess he eats too much or whatever, you know. Even down to, like, the Pandaren and the World of Warcraft, who are, you know, all about drinking and eating, and basically just a call for, you know, more positive representation of fat characters. And I use the term fat because, you know, Todd Harper uses that term. He, you know, kind of takes ownership of it, taking back that term. But, like, I definitely agree. I think that we do see larger fat characters being, you know, used for comedy purposes, kind of in a way that for a long time we saw gay characters in the same way, like we talked about early on in the show. And, you know, so I really feel that we could stand to just have more positive body representation. And I mean, that really stems from a whole cultural perception of fatness and body type and body shaming. So that, I mean, this could be an entirely separate discussion, but I mean, definitely I'm glad that this issue continues to be presented in the games, in the gaming sphere, because, you know, it's, you know, one of the most popular forms of media, and, you know, positive representation in gaming of all types of diversity is only going to help other types of media.
Absolutely. And, you know, I definitely recommend, especially if you're interested in character design, if you're a games creator, or you're just someone who feels sort of uncomfortable about your body type due to the way that people are represented in games, I would definitely recommend you look into this panel and write-ups about this panel. There was a similar but different talk given at GamerX 2 last year, and that one was also pretty impressive.
Yeah, and that focused, I believe, a little more on being a gay fat gamer, which definitely I identify with.
That's why I said related but different, because it was different but similar. We also, in a less serious note, have word here that the upcoming free-to-play Fable Legends game, which we are super excited for here in studio...
Yeah.
The cross-play functionality will be entirely blind to platform. So you'll be able to play it on Windows 10 PCs, you'll be able to play it on Xbox One. It does not matter what platform you are on, you will be able to play with your friends.
I'm so glad of that.
Me too, because I own an Xbox One, but most of my friends do not.
Right?
So, you know, I mean, I might just end up playing it on PC either way, but I'm super excited.
I mean, I guess even with PC, you can hook up your Xbox controller, especially with the Windows 10 coming, so...
Yeah. We also have word here that Mark Flurry, an ex-Harmonix developer, programmer, currently living in Seoul, South Korea, and Brian Gibson, whom you might be familiar with as one half of the noise rock duo Lightning Bolt, are creating a new game called Thumper. This is a very interesting looking rhythm game that is apparently currently in development by the duo at their new studio called Drool.
Gruel.
Right? Drool sounds pretty gruel. There's a gameplay demo video up on Polygon. We will link it over at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
And I definitely am excited for this. You know, we're big fans of rhythm games, and I cannot wait for more. And last but certainly not least, we have a rumor here. This is probably the closest thing we have to a rumor has it piece this week.
Rumor has it.
Word.
Rumor has it.
Word on the floor of GDC was that Phil Harrison, the executive over at Microsoft that has been working on Xboxy type stuff for some number of years now, is apparently going to be leaving Microsoft. This report has been run by basically every big games news blog and page and site on the internet in the last week. But, unfortunately, Microsoft continues to say that they do not comment on rumor or speculation. Enough people have commented on this, citing that they are sure of their sources, however, that we feel comfortable saying this seems pretty likely. So, we've talked about GDC, now it's time to talk a little bit about PAX.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about the history of PAX before, so I don't think we really need to go into it.
I agree. You know, like we were saying, this is, of course, the more fan-oriented sort of event. Whereas most of the GDC news was about sort of what's going to power the games that you play over the next few years, PAX is a little bit more about the games you're going to play over the next few years.
Yeah.
And this first one
is just a little minor announcement, not really a big deal, honestly.
It's a game that we're going to be playing for the next 20 years. Jesus, I appreciate the joke you're going for, Slaggy, but let's be honest, this is what we've been waiting for since this show started.
We may have cried when this announcement happened.
That is, of course, and you know, it's there in the episode title, Rock Band 4 is official. It is coming back to the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One consoles.
This year.
It's going to be published by Mad Catz, who is also going to be doing new hardware for the game. You may recall there was a little bit of a sweetheart deal between Harmonix and Mad Catz for Rock Band 3 once MTV Games and EA had washed their hands of it. Of course, this news gets even more exciting in that if you stay within your console family, that is, if you were playing Rock Band 1 through 3, I should say, on the PlayStation 3, if you get Rock Band 4 on the PlayStation 4, all of your DLC will be carrying over. Likewise, if you were playing on the Xbox 360 like I was...
And I was.
All of your DLC will be carrying over to the Xbox One version. This is obviously huge, huge, huge news. And you know what else is huge news? is that Harmonix is working with Sony and Microsoft to also let you continue using your old hardware.
If it's still working.
So, the goal here from Harmonix's mouth is that, you know, they want everyone to basically be able to use the same gear and the same songs that they used to have on this newer, prettier platform.
And I emphasis on platform because in other more in-depth articles that you can find out there, this one we linked is from Kotaku because it was just, you know, had the good basics. But there are some articles out there that really went more in-depth, and they made a point of saying there are not going to be yearly iterations, that this is meant to be a new platform for the new generation, and that they'll continue to support it with DLC and packs and such, but that they are trying to avoid a lot of the oversaturation issues that we had previously.
And, you know, I think that's a great idea. I've talked here about how I worry about Harmonix from a financial perspective, but I think this goal, you know, they very specifically said this is Rock Band 4. They expect it to last all console generation. They do not expect Rock Band 5 and Rock Band 6. I think this is a great angle. It sounds like they really know what they're doing.
There is a little doom and gloom.
They are scaling back. I don't think it's doom and gloom. They are scaling back from features that they feel, quote unquote, scared the casual gamers away. So we are going to see the removal of keyboard modes and, you know, pro modes for the pro guitars and what have you. This is going right back.
It'll still be pro drums.
This is going right back to the core basic. No, they're removing all of the pro, like, tutorial lessons and stuff.
I was under the impression that the pro drum charts were still going to be available, though.
They have very specifically said that they are removing all of the tutorials and teaching, like, real instrument teaching modes that they had done for Rock Band 3. They have very specifically said that this is a return to Rock Band as a game, not a teaching platform.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny because when we were playing Rock Band 3 the other night, I was kind of noticing that as the years went on, even like the note charts kind of got a little bit more needlessly complex occasionally. I mean, it really just depended on the song, but, you know, just going back and playing some of the earlier songs and being like, oh, this is expert, but it feels right. So I'm going to be really interested to see difficulty-wise where the new note charts land.
I would expect it to be more like a Rock Band 1 experience. You know, I would expect it to be, you know, very, like, modern songs that are charted in, like, with, like, an idea toward game difficulty and progression.
Rather than, oh, this feels like actually playing the song.
I do think so. I mean, again, you know, I felt like they struck a good balance for that in the Rock Band 1, Rock Band 2 era. Rock Band 3 was really, for me, where I felt like they went off the rails in trying to, like, simulate playing in a band rather than being a fun video game. Don't get me wrong, I still find that super fun myself. I'm super, super, super love Rock Band 3. But I do appreciate how some people who are less into it, and I actually have several coworkers who got out of Rock Band with Rock Band 3 because they felt like it was too complex and there was too much going on. I just feel like this is the correct direction for them to take, especially at recapturing that kind of audience.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have stated that because they view this game as a platform, there will be title updates and new additions and new features added as the years go on. And, you know, they've stated they've hinted pretty strongly that we could see a return of keys that way if there's a demand. But their focus for now is on sort of getting the ship righted, sort of rehabilitating the brand, and getting it back out there in people's hands and in people's consciousnesses. I think they have a good plan in mind. I really do. I think I foresee this being probably the best way to try and rehabilitate this brand, frankly.
Yeah, and you know, the timing couldn't be better. Pretty much all of our guitars, between you and I here at the SS Game Buoy, have unfortunately just given out after, you know, 8 or so years of heavy use. So I will definitely be picking up a guitar pack. My drums still work fine, but, you know, I'm day one on Xbox One, so join me there.
There will be pre-order exclusive colors of guitars, too, if you're that kind of person.
Ooh!
So, anyway, I'm super excited. The controllers are all going to be made very similar to the original Rock Band ones. Harmonix still has their relationship with Fender that they are going to be exercising. So this should be, you know, this should be pretty good stuff.
As much as I'd love to see, like, a Mustang or something, you know, the Strat's a very classic guitar. And, we're not gonna really link this, but if you were at PAX and pre-ordered, you could get a special PAX Penny Arcade design.
And I have to tell you, I think that thing is ugly as sin, and I still nearly had people pre-ordering it for me just because, oh my god, new Rock Band guitar.
Pretty much.
Anyway, moving on. We finally have a release date for the upcoming expansion to Final Fantasy XIV, A Realm Reborn. This is Final Fantasy XIV Heavensward. We've talked about it a lot here on the show. It's going to be releasing worldwide on June 23rd.
Nice. I'm going to be spending my entire summer locked indoors.
Also being added on that date is going to be the Mac version of Final Fantasy XIV. You know, the one that will be running native rather than having to be run in some sort of dual boot mode or what have you. So, you know, that's also pretty exciting stuff. We also got a rundown of sort of the new features so far. This game is, of course, going to see players going into the Ishgard realm, including flying continents, where you will be taking on a selection of legendary dragons. There's also going to be new primals and new primal fights. There are going to be at least three new jobs. The Dark Knight, the Astrologian, and the Machinist. The Dark Knight is a tank wielding a two-handed greatsword who harnesses the power of darkness. The Astrologian is a healer who uses a deck of tarot cards and a star globe to tap into healing and support magics. And the Machinist is a ranged DPS class that allows you to use firearms and mechanical turrets to deal damage from afar. Yoshida-san has said that he feels every new job is great, but his personal favorite is the Dark Knight, which is his new personal favorite class in the entire game.
Yeah, I definitely intend on rolling one. And yeah, possibly with the new race that we've known about, the Aura. Aura,
There's also going to be an increase on the level cap, up from level 50 to level 60, and there are going to be more raids with an enhanced selection of difficulty options for both those who prefer easier content and those who prefer more difficult content.
Nice! I'm excited about this, and I was reading this article from Game Informer, and I haven't gotten that far in 14 yet, but I guess there's a cloaked aura, so I bet if you go up to it, it'll be like, "Do you want to see me naked, lover? Do you want to see what's underneath the covers?" I love art pop.
We also have word on the next character for Killer Instinct. This is an amazing ghost girl. Her name is Hisako. She is based on Japanese horror movie tropes.
She looks so cool.
Wields a naginata that was cursed by her dead father's ghost. She has really incredible attacks and abilities. They did some really cool stuff with animation rigging for, like, her throws, what she does to her enemies. I am beyond impressed. Amazing character design. Super not, like, sexy or whatever. Like, it's really creepy and cool. I am super stoked, and this new character, Hisako, is coming to Killer Instinct Season 2 at the end of March, so we won't have to wait very long.
We got some awesome news from Blizzard at PAX East, and we're going to rattle those off for you. First is that there's been a new character announced for Overwatch. This character is Zarya. She is a Russian soldier who's one of the world's strongest women. And, you know, Blizzard has taken a lot of heat in the past for, you know, their representation of women in their gaming. This character, Zarya, looks really badass. She's, like, really buff, and, you know, she's, like, got heavy weapons, and so, you know, in terms of, like, body types, like we were just talking about with Todd Harper's discussion at GDC, you know, this is definitely, I mean, I feel a step in the right direction. She looks really cool, and, you know, I can't wait to see her in action in the game. And I also, you know, hope that they continue, if they add, you know, new characters and expansions and such, continue to really
diversify.
There's also another character announced, McCree, who is a badass cowboy. But, you know, I think a lot of us, and even this focus of this Kotaku article was about Zarya, just in terms of the positive representation. But also, who doesn't love cowboys? I mean, I like pirates a little better.
I think that McCree looks super awesome. I love his reveal trailer, but in light of Zarya, I just like, nope, sorry, I'm already focused on Zarya.
I hope I see some Zarya cosplay and crossplay at GX3 this year.
We also got word from Blizzard that the amazing MOBA Heroes of the Storm is getting a new map and a new character. The new character, of course, is going to be Sylvanas.
Yes, my queen!
She's going to be a siege character who excels at dealing big bursts of DPS and otherwise, you know, snipes and sneaks. So she'll probably be like the assassin archetype character. And I think this is really exciting. I'm super stoked. I love the character. I love assassin type characters. I'm super stoked. We're also getting a new map called Tomb of the Spider Queen, which has been described by Blizzard, and I quote, as a small map that feels like a knife fight in a closet.
The visuals that they included here on Kotaku make me think of very, like Taenerys, kind of like the Egyptian, Anubarak, sort of Silithus-looking visuals. There's like those,
Yeah, in fact, Anubis the dogs. Stage gimmick for that map is going to be summoning web weavers.
Oh, yeah, so this is basically like straight out of Silithus.
So, and then last but certainly not least, we also got word on the next adventure for Hearthstone. This one is going to be launching in April. It is Black Rock Mountain.
Nice.
It is going to have 5 wings, 17 bosses, and 31 new cards.
You know, I need to really get back into Hearthstone. I never really got around to doing much with the Nexdramas expansion. So I really should prep for Black Rock Mountain by getting back into it.
If you have an iPad that supports it, it is so fun to play on a tablet, man.
Yeah, my iPad is dead, but I do have a hybrid touch PC, so I can use that.
Awesome!
And I was also just thinking, I really need to get on that Heroes of the Storm action after watching you play it.
I love it, man.
With
I think
the Sylvanas
so
news, I'm just like, man, yes!
We also have word that Borderlands, the pre-sequel characters Nisha and Claptrap are available now as free DLC characters in Dance Central Spotlight.
Hilarious!
Right? It looks amazing. And seeing Claptrap do dance motions with his little hands.
And
love
the thing that's kind of cute is that you unlock these just by using cheat codes. For Claptrap, you press the Y button 5 times. And for Nisha, you press the X button 5 times.
And, yeah, so that's, you know, that's super exciting to me. I like Claptrap a lot. I love Dance Central, so I'm in. Speaking of Claptrap, we have an upcoming Claptrap-centric DLC for Borderlands the pre-sequel. This one is called Claptastic Voyage, obviously based on
Fantastic Voyage, right?
And it's going to increase the level cap as well as be a new adventure in and of itself.
So you can increase your Claptrap level cap.
Indeed. And this will be included in the Borderlands The Handsome Collection, which is going to package Borderlands 2 and Borderlands the pre-sequel on Xbox One and PlayStation 4. That is going to be releasing March 24th, the same day that the DLC will become available for those of you who already have the game on Xbox 360, PlayStation 3, and PC, where it will be available for
$9.99. $9.99? Are you out of your mind?
We also have word that the official launch of the long-in-beta free-to-play MOBA from Turbine, this one obviously being the DC Universe Infinite Crisis, will be officially releasing this month on March 26th. This is exciting news, and for those of you like myself who are just getting into MOBAs, this is another one to check out. We also have word here of Amazon Games Studios bringing 4 games to iOS and Fire devices. 2 of them are brand new games, and 2 of them are popular titles from Amazon's established catalog. The new ones are Lost Within, which is a survival horror game. This is being developed by Human Head Studios, the team you're probably familiar with, from the hit game Prey.
Oh, okay.
The other new one is Till Morning Light. This is an action-adventure side-scrolling title that follows a teen girl attempting to flee a haunted mansion. It is a puzzle action game being developed, or co-developed, I should say, by Way Forward.
What? Well done, yep. Amazon.
Right? So that's definitely stuff to look forward to. The ones being brought over to iOS that were previously already available on Amazon Games are Tales from Deep Space, which is a platformer. It has a co-op play and a free digital comic included that, you know, I know some people are super into. Co-developed with Frontier Development, who were behind the recently released Scream Ride.
Yeah, and you know, the Till Morning Light will come with a free Audible audio prequel. So,
oh, neat.
Interesting to see these little tie-ins with, I guess Audible is an Amazon company.
Oh, yeah, I guess
it is. And Comixology must be, too.
Oh, yeah, they bought it somewhat recently.
So interesting to see these tie-ins. I like that.
And last but certainly not least is Tofu Fury. It is a puzzle platformer set in a land full of dojos, ninjas, and temples. It was co-developed with HotGen, who you're probably familiar with from working on SpongeBob SquarePants plug-and-play devices. And that's the note on which we are going to end our discussion today. Obviously, I thought those games sounded legit good. Overall, I'm very excited about the news out of both GDC and PAX this year. I think the next couple years are going to be very exciting. And you can expect to hear a whole hell of a lot more about Rock Band 4 in the coming weeks.
We're going to have like a Rock Band 4 feature or something. Who knows? Maybe they'll have streaming. Well, I guess you can stream anyway, right? With like PS4 at least, so.
I wonder if there will be song rights issues.
Yeah.
Ah, well. It's time.
We'll have to do like a Game Buoy Rock Band online fest.
Fair. Anyway, it's time for the segment previously known as Smash. We have one Smash for you here today, but when we link you over on GameBuoy.org, we are going to link you to 3 articles. The first one is the article we're going to talk about right now, but the other two are just some good information hubs for news on GDC panels and sort of PAX East news and previews. So please go take a look at that. This article that is our actual designated Smash this week, though, is a look over at Kotaku on the unfortunately canceled Legacy of Kain game. This is a game that was in development for some number of years, generally known online as Dead Sun. We've talked about it here on the show in the past. And basically, there was a huge info dump on this project a few weeks ago, courtesy of a poster over on Gaff. There was, you know, basically like a 40-minute gameplay demo video leaked, and I have to tell you, this video made me really effing mad that this isn't a real game, alright?
That's a bummer.
Anyway, though, Kotaku has a great look at it, I highly recommend you go check it out, and that way you can join me in being effing mad. It's about time for that time, Slaggy, where we talk a little bit about what we've been playing recently. So
indeed.
I ask you...
I said, hey, what's going on?
Yeah, so I've had a couple of fun things, and most of them were related to gaming over here. Back at home, I've been a little busy, but over here at the SS Game Buoy, I had the chance to get some Four Swords Adventures action in, and that was a lot of fun. And, of course, we did a lot of Rock Band 3, so that was great. The only other thing that I really wanted to call out was a game that I'm apparently a little bit behind, because this game is Coming Out Simulator 2014 by independent designer Nikki Case. And it's a, I would say, like, kind of like a visual novel type of game. You know, some people have some issues with those being called games, but, it's a quick little free experience and, you know, just a powerful narrative of this person's coming out experience. And, you know, of course, there are multiple paths. So, you know, it kind of is just like a mixture of the developer's actual experience and the, just kind of like the tropes of being from an Asian American or Asian Canadian, rather, background, and it's kind of the cultural attitudes towards homosexuality or bisexuality. I'm sorry. I'm not really doing it justice here. But, yeah, if you are interested, you can check that out. Just search Coming Out Simulator 2014. It's available online.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. For me, this last couple of weeks have been all about two games. The first, of course, is the recently released Kirby and the Rainbow Curse. I like it a lot. I'm not going to talk too much about it right now because it is going to be a big part of our discussion on Kirby next week. Obviously, those of you out there in Internet Radio Land were expecting us to do our Kirby episode this week. We've been talking about it for a while. But unfortunately, we were actually supposed to record it last week, but Slykick wasn't feeling well. I didn't want to push
in. Yep, I ended up with the scurvy this time.
So we're just going to do that next week. But the TLDR spoiler version of that comment on Canvas Curse is that I like it a lot. I think it's a really great game.
Rainbow Curse.
Rainbow Curse, yes. I think it's a great game. I think it's well-designed. I think it has beautiful graphics. And I really can't wait to talk to y'all more about it.
Yeah, we're excited to talk to you about Kirby. If it was last week, it would have been like, "Hi, my name's Captain Spike. I mean, I'm first base Slide Kick." I'm like, "I'm first base Slide Kick. And this is this Kirby episode."
So, yeah.
You missed out on that, because I'm sure that 15 seconds or 20 seconds was more than you wanted to deal with.
The other big title for me has been Monster Hunter 4. I can't put it down. I basically have been playing it every free minute I have. I recently went on a work trip for work. And every minute of while I was in the hotel or while I was in the back of one taxi or another has been spent hunting monsters. The Monster Hunter fangs are in me pretty deep, and I cannot get enough.
I've heard that it's leaps and bounds. Not that 3 was not good, but it's like even better than 3 was.
I think the people who are saying that are probably people for whom Monster Hunter didn't click before. Monster Hunter 4 is definitely the most accessible game in the series, but in a lot of ways, it is, you know, it's another Monster Hunter game. It is not necessarily that different from the other games.
Just had a little extra polish.
It's a little more accessible, and I think that's what's really working for people, is that they can get into it a lot easier. But again, from a basic game design standpoint, it's still basically the same game Monster Hunter has ever been, which I like. I'm very happy. I love Monster Hunter. I also had some really cool times playing Taiko no Tetsujin at the arcade in Japantown in San Francisco, as well as a really cool Konami game called The Bishi Bashi, which is really strange, and I'm probably going to show to everyone who visits from out of town from now on. Really?
Yeah, I need to see. Oh, is that the, that's not the one where you lift the, upend the tea table, is it?
It is not upending the tea table, no. It's different. It's like that game that we played that one time, Slykick, that had Don't Touch the Dirty.
Oh.
Anyway, moving on. So that's about it for me. You know, as always, I played a bunch of Smash Brothers. And, you know, a sort of...
Oh, yeah, I played Smash Brothers, too, with you.
Yes, you did. So, you know, that's been really exciting. I've been working on my Amiibo collection. I have 27 of the little things now.
Oh, dear.
I'm just missing Pit and Little Mac. So, working that grind. All right, I think that's everything. Unless you have something else, I think it's time to start the wind down.
Yep, we got some Twitter tweets at you today.
Yeah, Twitter tweets, lay them on me.
Our first one comes from Crystal YDS, who's still working her way through the backlog of Game Buoy. And she said, "Was having a bad day. Friday the 13th game in October announcement really made me happy. You two always brighten my day.
We
hope that that will, continue to, that was our back on rumor has it, I think, because it wasn't officially announced with the studio or anything. So we hope to bring more follow-ups about that. Your Enzyme said, while waiting for the next episode, I bought, finished, and enjoyed the Order 1886. It was quite good. That's awesome. I heard that it's good, but short. But, short isn't necessarily bad. Your Enzyme also responds to our dating games episode, dating sims episode, said, oh goodness, Katawa Shoujo is an odd one. It was made by 4chaners a couple of years ago. It's totally free, but the content is questionable at best. You play it as a boy with heart problems who goes to a school for students with disabilities. Everyone has some sort of disability, blindness, deafness, amputees, and a few others. But the story and characters are actually all really well developed. I cried a lot. Wow. When you said that was developed by 4chaners and then the content of it, I was a little worried for a minute, but I'm going to have to look into that.
Yeah, I have actually been interested in that game for a long time. I forgot that that was the name of it when I had said that last episode. But I am familiar with the game. I've always been curious, but at the same time really hesitant, because I assumed that it would be, a really offensive crap show. But from the sound of it, it sounds really touching and interesting, so I will make it a point to play that. Yeah. Thank you.
Also, Your Enzyme, quickly getting up here in the response count. We love always eating tweet from Your Enzyme. Said, just listen to the outro bloopers and directed to me. That was a quick save. Thank God for editing. I'm not sure which one you're referring to. Crystal Ideas, in response to my tweet that you might have seen about how I had scurvy, Crystal Ideas says, eating Jack in the Box might be why there was scurvy going around the ship. Hey, the new buttery Jacks are good. No
F's
given.
Yeah, but she's probably not wrong, okay?
She's probably not wrong, but no F's given. Fan of the buttery Jack. Emiru69 says, enjoying the last episode of GameBuie.org while playing Tales of Hearts R. Aw, that's such a GameBuie title. Love it. Also saying, regarding JRPGs with dating sim influences, I would recommend Conception 2 for Vita and 3DS. Harem meets Persona Battle System. Huh. That's like it's worth looking into. We got a tweet from Happy Nutto saying, thanks a lot, GameBuie.org. Now I want to play Thousand Arms again and buy more IU albums.
Okay, yeah, but that would be awesome. You should do that.
And then also said, I actually worked on some more JP study for the first time in ages about thinking about Tokimeki that much. Sugoi! We got a tweet from Embryon X saying, oh man, I had that Thousand Arms multimedia CD as a teen and listened to Depend on You like it was my job. So, so cool to see people talking about these games that maybe weren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. Gamer Fox says, listen to all these great podcasts so you can fall behind like me, and includes Koopa Club, GameBuie.org, OLR, Game Bar, BG Realness, and Horde House, The Hunty Bunch. Got another tweet in from Your Enzyme saying, I need help. I have 700 Club Nintendo points to spend. Need 3DS suggestions. I'm at a loss here. I'm going to kick this off to you, Captain Spike, if you have anything off the top of your head, except I want to say really quickly that
Dylan's Rolling Western, Sakura Samurai. There are some cool posters they have for Smash Brothers if you're into collecting that sort of thing. What were you saying?
I was just going to say 700 Club is 700 Club Nintendo, and I read that as 700 Club. I was like, oh dear, televangelists.
Ew.
So yeah, in terms of 3DS, I'm not quite familiar with what's on the Club Nintendo rewards, but as Captain Spike said, those would be some good ones to check out. If you out here in GameBuie Radioland have any suggestions for Your Enzyme, I just retweeted the tweet, and please feel free to tweet in reply. Edward Wong 4 said, ugh, got up to work early and feeling super sick. And the best medicine is some GameBuie.org. Aww.
Thank you so much for your kind words.
Also said, this last episode of GameBuie.org made me lol so much and love the dating sim love. Sparkly heart, sparkling heart, sparkling heart. And that's about it. So with that, we're going to kick it off to our social links, shout-outs, rather. But for our social links, of course, we love your feedback. As you can tell, we really like Twitter a lot. It's probably my favorite social network of all time. We also like when you like us on Facebook. We like to be tumbled with on Tumblr. We like to be plus one on Google Plus. If you are on the iTunes, you can subscribe, rate, and review to us on iTunes. We're available on Stitcher Radio, which I guess are there reviews and stuff there? I need to kind of learn more about the platform, but if you're on Stitcher and you're discovering us from Stitcher, hello! You can always email us at mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org.
Mailbuoy@gamebuoy.org! Of course, our home base is gamebuoy.org.
Gamebuoy.org.
Where you can find an entire episode archive, all of our social links, and a couple Easter eggs sprinkled throughout. So with that, let's go ahead
Ooh, this is candy. We're having fun.
Ooh, let's go ahead and give some shout-outs to some of our favorite podcasts, both gaming and non-gaming related.
My first shout-out goes over to VG Realness, serving up a weekly dose of gaming chit-chat among friends, as well as the Game Over Takeover, your one-stop shop to go to for geekery galore. I'd be remiss not to mention Orange Lounge Radio, where every gamer has a voice and from whom I steal ever so many of my cues. I'd also like to point you in the direction of Nintendo Fun Club, where you'll find platformers, positivity, and pop punk. There is, of course, also the Nintendo Love Fest, as well as Anthony's other podcast, X Nation, over at culturalwormhole.blogspot.com, an awesome podcast focusing on Marvel's Mighty Mutants. I also want to point you in the direction of our other show, or I should say Slaggy McWaggy's other show, Reading is Fundamental, our in-season show looking at RuPaul's Drag Race. That is, of course, hosted by Slaggy, with assists from myself, Rob Roberts from Orange Lounge Radio, and Delvin from VG Realness. There is already an episode up from this season, and obviously expect another one every week until the season is done.
Yes, God!
You should also check out the Starboard Power Coupling Podcast, a Star Trek podcast you hope doesn't fail. And last, but most certainly not least, Tables, Ladders, and Podcast, a professional wrestling podcast for the common man.
Man, I need to get some non-gaming ones on my list.
Hey, Slaggy, why don't you take us to a game bar?
Come on now. come on, Natch. Game Bar is the gay video game Prairie Home companion and a part of the Hunty Bunch, featuring the sassy realness of Toopsie, Jeremiah, and Todd. We have Koopa Club, which is an award-winning podcast about Nintendo and gaming with an LGBT twist. I believe the award was from their mothers. I would also like to shout out to two fantastic shows over on the Voice of Geeks Network. That's VogNetwork.com. And these shows are Girls Gone WoW, where you can get a female's perspective on the world's most popular MMO, and Horde House, the place for all things online gaming, but never seriously. You can also catch out... I'm sorry, it's never too seriously. I just like to mess with them. And, of course, you can also catch Starboard Power Coupling Podcast and Orange Lounge Radio over on Voice of Geek Network. That's VogNetwork.com. And last but certainly not least, I'd like to shout out to La Palanca Podcast, podcast por y para gay gamers latinoamericanos en español. As everyone always, our wonderful theme music was done by Zelda Reorchestrated, the project that aimed to reorchestrate beautiful Zelda music into gorgeous symphonic sound. They unfortunately closed their doors a while back, and we'll forever be pouring out a 40 for them, and we thank them because now when you hear that music, you think of Game Bowie.
Alright, folks, thank you so much for spending this lovely, sunny Sunday afternoon with us. I really appreciate that you spend your time listening to us. I hope you've had as much fun listening as we've had talking. We should see you again in 7 or 8 days, you know, give or take, where we're going to talk about Kirby and HAL Laboratories. So, you know, until then, as ever and always, keep gaming, keep thinking, and see you, Space Cowboy.
And in other Shovel Knight news, I said Shovel Knights.
I make this different cheat. We also have word here that Downtown Special Kunio-kun's History Play Everyone Gather is getting a sequel on the new 3DS. Wait.
Tetsuya Mitsu... Fuck. Wait. So I believe for... that was a bad transition.
Suck on that. I was getting to it, gosh. Do you want to see me naked, lover? Do you want to see what's underneath the covers?